It is 17 minutes now past 8 o'clock this Saturday morning. Guy Leach is the managing editor of the SA Flyer magazine. Guy, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Africa. Nice to be with you.
I understand. You think that SAA is in bigger trouble now than it was in November when it forced government and I suppose its board of directors to appoint or to put it under business rescue. Why?
Yeah, I think that this is true. I don't think many people are quite appreciating the severity of the position the airline finds itself in now. Back in November, they were still looking for a permanent CEO. They've pretty much given up on that idea. No one's going to want to take a job like that without any real prospect of any long-term tenure in the job. And there seems to be at this stage a clear showdown between the government as the owners of the airline, who are expected to just keep paying or writing more and more checks for the airline, and the business rescue practitioners, Matheson & Co. The government had promised the airline that it would give, or Matheson, that it would give them essentially 4 billion rand to do the turnaround with on the airline. They've only really given 2 billion right now, and they were supposed to guarantee loans to banks. And I don't think the government is willing to meet the terms from the banks. So it looks like Matheson's threat that the airline cannot trade or operate on Monday if it doesn't have this two additional 2 billion rand by the end of tomorrow is probably going to happen, simply because they will be trading recklessly. They can't put fuel in the tanks of the aircraft if they cannot give any comfort that they will ever be able to pay for the fuel.
And the significance of tomorrow's date?
No, I don't honestly know what the significance of the date of the 18th is. Why? I think that they had to set a deadline at some specific time. And that's simply when I think their cash reserves have actually run out completely.
We know that the Finance Minister, Tito Mboweni, is gravely concerned about the amount of money that is being poured from Treasury to the various state-owned enterprises. In fact, has been very, very strong in making sure that the entities that are seeking money from Treasury put forward plans that indicate how they're going to get themselves out of the mess that they are in right now. What I'm understanding from what you said earlier, Guy, is that the Treasury was obviously willing to secure whatever loans that SAA would need to obtain, but seemingly the conditions that have come to Treasury for that loan are something that's going to be quite unacceptable. Do you have knowledge as to what the issues are in terms of what those conditions are?
I don't have detailed knowledge, but one can take a reasonably informed guess as to what's happened here. Quite simply, as the situation of SAA has become more and more vulnerable, more and more tenuous, so the banks, and in particular Nedbank, has increased its requirements as to what it would satisfy itself in terms of a loan. And it's only off preparing to offer a bridging finance loan pending the release of further funds from the central fiscus. But I should imagine that any loans from Nedbank or any other bank for that matter would require that they be treated as an absolutely first call, absolutely priority in terms of any default of any nature. And the government would obviously have enormous problems with this because there must be so many other creditors out there, particularly the huge creditors like the aircraft lease that we know already have interlocking lease agreements with the other major state enterprises such as Eskom, who would have first call on this, on any money as well. So I think that the banks have upped their standards and at the same time, or their requirements, and at the same time, we're seeing increasing reluctance from Minister Mboweni to just keep putting money into these endless drains of state-owned enterprises, and SAA is the case in point at this stage. Until somebody can bridge this gap, I think that the situation remains extremely vulnerable and worrying for SAA.
We also know, of course, news yesterday of the resignation of Martin Kingston. He was certainly one of the most senior directors at SAA, but there's nothing untoward to read into this resignation. The company is under business rescue, so there's very limited roles, I suppose, that the directors can play right now.
I think there's a lot more to be read into Martin Kingston's resignation. He's been the front man for a lot of the presentations of the board to, for instance, the Parliamentary Standing Select Committee, and so on. I think he's been, in many senses, a stabilizing interest behind the board. He continued on after the resignation of J.B. Magwaza in July last year as the chairman. And I think that he is very, very concerned that he as a director would be held personally responsible if the airline continued to trade tomorrow on Monday without having received the necessary funds from government to do so.
We also know that SAA has put out a notice, I suppose, of its intention to sell 9 aircraft and I think 15 engine leases. NUMSA and SA Cabin Crew Association not happy with this at all, nor is the Democratic Alliance. Is this a good move by SAA, selling those aircraft?
Yeah, there can be no argument about this one whatsoever. These aircraft should have been sold off 5 years ago, and it was indeed very much part and parcel of the initial strategy to update the fleet 5 years ago. And both Boeing and Airbus were offering new aircraft for them, and they would take the older Airbus for A344 engine aircraft in as trade-ins. That didn't happen because the value of these aircraft has become really small, that a market doesn't want old four-engine aircraft anymore. And so SAA decided, rightly or wrongly, to hold on to them and perhaps use them as spares or backups. But now, with an absolute cash flow on the cards or happening right now, it makes sense to sell them off as quickly as possible. But the reason the unions don't like it is because the scenarios or the options put out by the business rescue practitioners all call for substantial route reductions, especially on the long-haul flights, which have all been struggling to make money or just actually making outright losses. And obviously, with further route reductions than we already saw, a large number of route reductions under Vianney Johanna, the airline will shrink even more. And there's talk that the operational crew, the pilots and the cabin crew staff complement will be cut in half. That is obviously extremely worrying to the cabin crew unions, the pilots unions, and everyone else, because the airline will effectively need to cut half its staff members.
Is this a move that you support, Guy, if we have SAA primarily servicing the domestic market, and I imagine the regional market is in the African continent, with very few, if any, international long-haul distances? Will SAA survive in that scenario?
It'll be a shadow of its former self. It will be a flag carrier in all but name. And let's just remind ourselves that actually the regional routes, when I say regional, I mean across the whole of Southern Africa, not just within South Africa, will actually be handled by Mango, which is not an SAA brand at all. And we've seen, and by the way, a move by Airlink to move away from its or dissolve its franchise with SAA, which would probably mean a rebranding there as well. So this notion of the flag carrier will all but be gone. Is that a good thing or not? Well, it is a good thing because no airline these days or no government these days needs to bear the burden of flag carriers. No one sees the aircraft anyway. And quite frankly, over time, but I emphasize over time, other carriers would step into the gap and make up for the loss of air transport connectivity. People would be able to fly on other airlines. But there is a huge consequence to the South African economy in the collapse of SAA. Or the enormous cutting of SAA in terms of the number of tourism's come in, the number of jobs, the number of associated jobs and so on. So it's not a thing that one would want to see. There is a strategy out there that says to return the airline to profitability, you actually increase revenue, you build more routes, you use the existing goodwill. It is a very good airline. It is still the number one airline in Africa in terms of quality of service and on-time performance and so on. There's something worth building there. It would be nice if the government and the turnaround strategists could find a way of increasing revenue without having to slash staff and costs and everything else right down to the bone.
Many listeners, no doubt, after our conversation are going to say, just sell it, just privatize it. The reality is SAA, as it is not attractive to any potential investor, is it?
Well, it is. I mean, it does have some assets. Obviously, the liabilities far, far exceed the assets at this stage. But the fact of the matter is the liabilities are squarely in the government's lap anyway. It would be possible to sell off the airline for a rand like the whole of the OK Bazaars were sold off for one rand. If government assumed quite a lot of the debt, it may still be the best single approach for government. But of course, at this stage, government doesn't have the money either. So it's extremely unlikely that it could be sold. And SAA, it needs to be realized, is an extremely difficult airline to operate profitably, because it's what I call an end-of-the-line airline, in the sense that it's here down at the southern end of the South African continent. And it is extremely hard for it to feed its routes, which is why the other carriers, for instance, Lufthansa or British Airways or Air France, are able to feed routes to South Africa from the north much better than we are. South African Airways is able to feed their routes from the south. These make it difficult for SAA to really succeed. But there are examples. Air New Zealand was turned around successfully. By the same token, SAA could be turned around. It would require a lot of money and a lot of skill, and both of those are commodities in extremely short supply. But also, let me just point out that the real problem lies in the 6 or 7 years of truly appalling management that was inflicted on the airline under the Dudi Mulyeni reign. All the talent has left, and most of the talent has left. And it's extremely hard to turn the airline around when it's got what Mr. Vianney Johanna, the previous full-time CEO, called a culture of malfeasance. That is the really real killer here, and why I think that those who argue that the airline should just be sold off probably have the correct view.
Parting question. What do you think is going to be discussed at the ANC Lekgotla this weekend? Because, of course, the ANC is meeting in part to discuss state-owned enterprises. And more importantly, will SAA be flying still on Monday?
Yeah. That is the big question at the ANC Lekgotla. The answer is twofold. Tito Mboweni has often pointed out that SAA is not big to fail. The question is, that's true. They could allow it to fail financially, but the real question is, do they have the political will or capital to allow it to fail politically? In other words, the indictment to the ANC government in terms of the rot that it is allowed to set in to SAA, to SOEs, the state-owned enterprises, and literally the jewels in the crown like SAA, is a severe indictment of our current government. And they may of course, the enormous consequence of a loss of jobs, not just the 5,000 jobs within SAA, but all, there's another 5,000 jobs in the associated companies, Mango, SAA Technical, Air Chefs. The loss of those jobs would be an enormous blow to the government as well, and to the economy. So the real question is, do they have the political will to grasp the nettle, to make the incredibly difficult decisions required to either to stop this airline hemorrhaging taxpayers' money that really needs to go on development funds? They need to be delivering basic services, not subsidizing airline tickets for rich travelers.
Guy, thank you very much as always for your insights. Guy Leach is the managing editor of the SA Flyer magazine. And talking of those job losses, you'll remember Massmart is closing some of its stores across the country. 34, I believe, is the number, affecting 1,300 employees. Adcon is going to be closing some stores and therefore shedding some employees. Telkom serving notices to unions of the intention to retrench up to 3,000 employees. Sibanye-Stillwater, 4,500, I believe, is the number that will be retrenched following a process. So to add whatever the number of employees from SAA and associated companies to that job losses list, it's going to be woeful for South Africa, without a doubt.